When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What's up, everybody? Thank you guys for joining me. This is the Triple Threat Podcast, along with my man Scotty D. First off, I want to thank Snappy Home Services. They provide electrical, plumbing, heating, and air service to all of Metro Atlanta. Just saw Scotty repping his Snappy shirt. I got to rock mine next week. I got one as well. But they give out lifetime parts and labor warranties, locally owned and operated, supporting numerous local high school programs around the area. And they, you know, hey, give them a call, 770-424-SNAP, or check them out on the web at snappyservices.com. Of course, like I mentioned, they do plumbing, heating, air, and we're doing a special promo code. If you use the code Triple Threat, they're giving you $75 off your next appointment. $75 off, people. Come on. That ain't hard. That's pretty good right there. All right. Snappy makes homes happy. We appreciate Snappy for being a huge partner of our particular show. Scotty D, you love Snappy. You've been with Snappy for a while. So always love promoting those guys. They do a great deal. We got a great week. Got a great show. It's been a great week already. A lot of stuff has happened throughout this particular week. On the show today, we got my man Mackenzie Mills. He is a minor league baseball player. He's going to take us through some of the trials and tribulations of how COVID has affected him as a minor leaguer. Drafted by the Nationals back in 14, recently with the Marlins organization. So this is a guy who's been around the league and understands what it takes. And he's going to give us his intake on the baseball playoffs as well. So we're looking forward to listening to my man Mackenzie Mills on today's Triple Threat Podcast. Also, let's jump right into what's going on in our world of sports. Let's talk about the NFL. The NFL so far has a lot going on. We talk about some of the big-time games. We talk about some of that happened last week. Scotty, what was your biggest disappointment from last week?
That's too easy.
You laugh. You laugh. I know where it's coming from. Go ahead. That's too easy.
The Falcons, man. The Falcons again.
Something happened with the Falcons? What happened?
I don't know. I told you earlier I quit the Falcons, DJ.
You can't quit them, bro. You can't quit them.
Why?
You're going to quit them.
Oh, I almost said something really offensive about them, but I'm not going to say that. But
I think everybody knows, man, the Falcons blew a big lead in that ball game. 2 weeks in a row, the Falcons had failed when they should have won the ball game. The Falcons should be easily 2-1 right now at the worst. Blew a 26-10 lead. Nick Foles comes in and looks like the savior again for the Chicago Bears. They benched Mitchell Trubisky. Scotty D, what did you think as the game was winding down? Did you think it could happen again?
I knew it was going to happen again, DJ. I quit. And you know what?
You didn't think they learned from what happened last time?
Well, I don't know. I've seen the story a couple times now. it's like the fourth time you watched Rocky, DJ. You knew what was going to happen at the end.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, man. I got you. I'm with you, man. It was tough day for the Birds for sure. Cowboys, another game. Cowboys and Seahawks. Really good game, man. Yeah. Seahawks are impressive still. They go out and get another win. Cowboys tried to fight back. Dak is still playing, I think, at a high level. Scotty, what did you think of the Cowboys-Seattle game?
It was entertaining. It was fun. That's the kind of football game I want to watch, you know?
Yeah.
I, I, I'm a really big fan of Russell Wilson, and I'm becoming a bigger fan of Dak, frankly. You know, I wasn't.
Pay that dude, man. Pay that dude.
I've not been too opinionated on whether he should be paid. I think it was a stupid move not to pay him 6-8 months ago or a year ago, but they're going to pay now.
Jerry, pay that dude, bro. What you doing? He finna make you hurt even more in the pocket, especially if they get a couple more wins. I think he's leading the NFL right now in pass yards, so putting up 300-400-yard games every week, giving his team a chance to win, bringing them back. So Dak gonna get that bread soon enough. All right, move on to the Monday night game, the much-anticipated Chiefs and Ravens, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, two NFL MVPs, a Super Bowl MVP. The hype was there, and then there was no hype. The Chiefs come out and they crush the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson didn't have his best game. Oh, Scotty D, I know we all were excited for this game. What were your thoughts about Lamar Jackson calling Kansas City and Patrick Holmes? It's kryptonite.
You don't say that. You don't.
he can't beat him, bro. He over for him. Against him.
I'm on vacation, and that's like Monday night. All I was anxious to do was to sit and watch that game, you know, cool off my sunburn and watch Jackson and Mahomes go at it. And one of those didn't show up really. You're way smarter at football than I am. So you probably know there's 100 reasons it happened, but from a casual fan like me, Mahomes balled. Jackson stalled.
Okay, Scotty D dropping some lines on.
That was right off the top of my head, man.
So that was off the cuff right there. Yeah. Huh? You're going to give us a high 16 next time. You're going to drop some balls over there. Hey, we got our first some unfortunate things happening in the National Football League with some COVID tests. Steelers-Titans game has been postponed as of right now. They're thinking of playing this game either Monday or Tuesday. The Titans had a few people come up with some positive tests of COVID. I think it was about 4 or 5 guys that came out with some positive tests. So that game looks to be postponed. And hopefully that's not a trend to come with guys getting tested and not passing. So ultimately, they had more tests. A bunch of the guys, everybody else has tested negative. So those guys will go on the COVID list going forward. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a big game, Titans, Steelers, Titans, you know, 3-0 right now. Steelers, you know, same, you know, both winning. So, this is a huge matchup in AFC. When it does happen, Scotty D, who you taking?
The game in Tennessee or is it in Pittsburgh? It's in Tennessee, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep the Titans keep I keep doubting the Titans, and they keep winning. So I guess I will take the Steelers again.
Okay.
But here's what I understand is it going to be played on Monday?
It can be played on Monday or Tuesday. That's what they said as of right now.
So Sunday's not good, but Tuesday is good.
Put 8 more hours. That's all they need, bro. That's all they need. Come on.
I have not heard that come from the CDC and Dr. Fauci. I haven't heard that information. So that's interesting.
All right, man. Let's move on. College football. This past weekend was the start of the SEC football getting played. A lot of teams, I would say, are looking forward to a big run this year. We saw a couple teams look less than unimpressive. Did anybody stick out to you, Scotty D, with their performance this weekend in the SEC?
Yeah, a few. Texas A&M barely beating Vanderbilt. Georgia's. Mm-hmm. Georgia's got offensive issues. Lane Kiffin threw all over Florida. Well, not Lane Kiffin, but his offense threw all over Florida. So I frankly, I wasn't too. I think the least surprise of the surprises was LSU losing. That's the game I told you last week. That's the game I was looking forward to the most this week was seeing Leach and see what LSU is. And I mean, look, the bottom line, you lose as much as they lost. You can't expect to pick up where they left off.
Yeah, I don't think you expect them to pick up where they left off, but I think a lot of people expect them to win their ball game. You would think that Ed Owen and staff have recruited good enough where a first-year coach won't come in and, you know, be able to do what they did. Mike Leach and his air raid offense, everybody talked about it wouldn't work. But KJ Costello, the Stanford transfer, comes over and he goes 36 of 60, 623 yards and 5 tubs. You're talking about a welcome to the SEC moment there. That's pretty cool. He crushes the SEC passing record in a game, in his first game out. So big props to Mississippi State. They're going to be a problem, man, because they're going to score points. They're going to put defenses on their heels. Yeah. This is going to be a Mississippi State team. I think a lot of people got to keep their eye on it. Not just this year. They're going to surprise some people like they already did. Yeah. But down the road, this team is going to be just as crazy. And, oh, man, I love some Mike Leach. Mike Leach is already talking about, if you're looking for a bandwagon, he got one. So jump on.
I think both those schools in Mississippi have potential to screw up some seasons, man.
Man, Osiris Mitchell, 7 catches, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns. Their big-time back, Colin Hill, 8 for 158. That's receptions. That's
receiving, yeah.
158 reception yards, which was crazy. You mentioned the Texas A&M beat Vandy 17-12. Mon, not as impressive, but you think in that system. 17-28, 189 in the touchdown. Not as impressive. And the Georgia Bulldogs, which I was on this call, had a chance to call this game. They were down 7-5 to Arkansas. New head coach Sam Pittman, Kendall Briles, offensive coordinator, Barry Odom, defensive coordinator. So it was different, man. It was different being a part of that, watching Georgia struggle in that first half. Yeah. Duan Mathis gets the start for Georgia, struggles. A lot of guys around him didn't really play well. Offensive line was struggling in run game. But to go up 7-5 at halftime, I think a lot of people didn't expect that, Scotty B.
No. But they just needed a 3-run home run to take the lead. So, that was a weird score. I had gotten tied up in the other game. So, when I flipped over, it was 7-2. And I was like, what is going on?
Not a good sight, man. So, defense, Georgia puts in defense is good, man. They fly around. They got a lot of guys with a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. They bring in Stetson Bennett, who actually plays pretty well. Brings that Georgia offense to life, and Georgia ends up winning 37-10. Big game this weekend, though. Mm-hmm. Georgia and Auburn in Athens. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix, new look Chad Morris offense under Gus Malzahn on. This should be an interesting game. Auburn's offense will be a lot better than what they saw last week in Arkansas's offense with Seth Williams and Anthony Swartz, all the speed they have outside. And second-year quarterback in Bo Nix who can run and throw. So, who do you like in that one, Scotty D? I mean, I know you saw UGA last week. I don't know if you saw Auburn. Who do you like in that ball game?
I got to pick Auburn based on what I saw last week. You know, it's the same way I feel about my Gators. I'm not that worried about Florida's defense. I think that they can fix that. I'm a little more concerned about Georgia with their quarterback situation and having a whole team buy in, and also everybody taking the reps. But you got somebody with a Superman cape coming in, don't you?
I mean, it's going to be interesting, man. You know, I think a lot of people are on the Auburn bandwagon versus Georgia after what they saw last week. I mean, I don't blame them. It wasn't the prettiest of games, but, hey, Kirby's got a week to get it right. JT Daniels was cleared this week.
Yeah, so
he's going
to play?
Yeah, I think I think he will play, man. I think he will be a big part of what they do. They got to see what they got. Mm-hmm. They see Mathis, you know, he wasn't, you know, the strongest game for him. I think the kid's still going to be good. I think he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. He brings the skill set they like. Stetson Bennett is a proven guy who's played in JUCO, now played in that game versus Arkansas. Now see what you got in JT Daniels. So we'll see which way Georgia goes. And last but not least, talk about your Gators, man. Gators beat Ole Miss, Trask. 30 of 42, 462, 6 tubs. But the dude who scares me, Kyle Pitts, oh my goodness, 8 catches, 170 yards, 4 touchdowns. And this guy plays tight end, people, tight end. The guy can do it all, man. He's a matchup nightmare for anybody. Florida offensively, I think it's going to be tough to beat with Dan Mullen. You mentioned their defense. It's going to be fun to see what Florida looks like going forward. Oklahoma this weekend took an L. Lost to Kansas State, 38-35. Oklahoma, one of those teams that everybody thought could possibly be in the college football playoff. Lincoln Riley just always finds a way, finds his quarterback, and they find their way. So they lose this following weekend. So does that take the Big 12 out of it? Because Oklahoma's out, are you good? Or does Texas still give you hope?
I wasn't too impressed with Texas other than they can score. I mean, that game, they put up 120 points, I think. Texas.
Yeah, 60-something. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
No, they're not out of it, but that's a bad loss. But they've lost to them twice now, man, that or 2 years in a row. I will say I've made two bets on Saturday. I bet on Kansas State plus 27.5.
No way.
And I bet on Mississippi State. I can't remember what the margin was there.
But it don't matter. You won both of them then.
Yeah, but if I would have bet on both of those teams to one, I would have made some real money. But I didn't do that.
Scared money don't make no money, Scott. Scared money don't make no money.
I was watching that Oklahoma score, and every time they scored early on, I was like, "Oh, I'm toasting this one." But then, give up a 35-14 lead.
That's tough. That's tough, man. So hey, a lot of big games still to go in college football this weekend. Texas A&M plays Alabama, and we've already talked about Georgia and Auburn and that big matchup. College football's here, man. We got through week one for the SEC. We're still expecting the Big Ten to come later in October. So a lot of college football still to be played. Let's move on to the last but not least, the NBA.
Yeah.
Heat, Lakers, right now, before we discuss anything, who wins it? Who takes it?
Lakers.
No doubt. I'm with y'all today. Come on, LeBron. LeBron ain't going to let this happen again. LeBron going to get his championship. And he gonna cement himself as one of the greatest of all time.
Which is a silly narrative but I'm pulling for the Heat though. I'm finding underdogs to pull for this playoffs, you know? And when my team's not in it, that's what I gravitate towards. So I'm pulling for the blue collar, hard nosed Heat.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I still think it's gonna be a good series.
Hope so.
You're hoping it's a good series. Jimmy Butler is one of those I call dogs who will find a way to will his team. I think they'll be competitive, but it's hard to go against LeBron and AD. It's going to be an interesting series, but the Lakers will cement themselves, I think, at the end of the year.
I think that the Heat are more well-rounded than the Lakers, you know, because in my opinion, you still got two players on the Lakers. The Heat.
So does well-rounded beat better talent?
I mean, if there's more of them, possibly, sure. they've got more players contributing at a high level, I think, than the Lakers do. Now, you're talking about two of the greats right now on that Lakers team, but I hope this is a competitive series. I mean, I want to watch good games, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. So, man, I think everybody's excited to watch this series get as it continues on and see if, you know, that he can make some noise in this thing. Scotty, you had a few questions for me. Is that right?
Well, I've been hearing this narrative about championships in 2020. Okay, people, and this started months and months ago when they decided that they were going to start seasons and they were changing seasons and they were moving whole leagues to convention centers in Orlando and baseball is going to play a third of as many games. So here's my question to you. If you win a championship in 2020, do you deserve some kind of crazy asterisk saying, but it was 2020?
Yeah. I think there's always going to be the but. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. Do I agree? Do I think it deserves an asterisk? No. But I think there will always be a but from a lot of people about what people had to overcome. We talk about baseball not having a full season. Talk about basketball being in the bubble. Talk about football starting at different times. A lot of teams having 8 games, some having 10 games, some having 12 games. There will always be the but, I believe, in the particular sport that we're talking about. But for me, I say this makes it even a better championship because you had to overcome a lot.
Yeah.
You had to adapt to all these different situations, scenarios, tests.
Yeah.
You had to do things that you won't usually do. So which team is more focused in all these different areas? I think makes them an even better team. So I think the but goes on the other side of it as they deserve it even more.
Yeah.
More than but all these different things prohibited from doing X, Y, and Z. So I'm on that side, and that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, agree 100%.
All right, man. I think I'm ready to talk to my man Mackenzie Mills. I think everybody get a little taste of what it's like to be a Major League Baseball player during these times, a minor leaguer, a lot of kids who are in his same boat going through these different situations. So coming up next on the Triple Threat Podcast, Mackenzie Mills. Now we welcome to the Triple Threat Podcast, a guy who knows a lot about what's going on in the major leagues and also trying to get it right for himself. My man Mackenzie Mills joins the show, man, drafted by the Nationals back in 2014, most recently with the Marlins. And man, Matt, how you doing first off, man? A lot of stuff going on. We know the COVID, everybody's affected by it. But first off, how you and your family, everybody doing?
Everybody good. Everybody good. Like I tell anybody, this is the first time. I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised. And this is the first time in 6 years I've been in Atlanta this long. So I got to spend a lot of time with, you know, my mom, my dad, my dog, my sister. So, you know, I definitely enjoy it. But, I mean, I'm used to playing baseball every summer. So it's definitely an adjustment. But right now, everybody's good. Everybody's in good spirits.
Man, that's cool to hear, man. I know y'all know everybody's good and glad to hear that you're good, man. I thought it'd be pretty cool to have a guy on who obviously knows a lot about what's going on in the playoffs, big leagues, baseball, all that kind of stuff, but also for people to hear your story and what you're having to go through because a lot of people don't really know, man. So it's cool to have you on, man. Just talk about how with these crazy times, everybody's lives have been altered. Everybody has to put stuff on pause. You just mentioned that you've been home this long in a long time. Yeah. Talk about how COVID has affected you as a guy who, you know, played in the minor leagues and now, you know, you're affected by, you know, COVID and all that kind of stuff. But talk about that situation and how it's affected you going forward with your baseball career.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll definitely say I made the transition in – last year in November, I spent the whole offseason in Tampa. My agency had a workout program there that he said, my agent said, hey, you know, come down there, you know, come get your work in. It's going to be good. You're going to work out 5 to 6 times a week. You know, do what you need to do to prepare yourself because this year is a big year for you. Two or three – that last season, I was in Double A, had an up-and-down year, showed a lot of good potential. Like I said, showed a mid-90s fastball. I'm a big guy, so I'm about 6'4", 240. Lefty, I can come out the bullpen.
Going off the hill on that thing, boy.
Yeah. come out the bullpen, or I could start. But, you know, I wasn't consistent. I would have a good game, bad game, okay game, good game. You know, as you know, like I said, even if it's a regular job or you're a press athlete, you got your superstars and you got your guys, you know what you're going to get every single day. And I showed flashes of greatness, but it just needed to be more consistent. So anyway, like I said, I made the transition to Tampa and worked out hard for 3-4 months. So by the time Big League Camp started, I was already down in Jupiter, Florida. That's where the Marlins had their spring training. They shared a facility with the Cardinals. So I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I'm in shape. Arm feels good. I got a slider now. I got a new pitch in my arsenal. Something, man, I'm going to dominate this year. So Cam's going good. I'm pitching well. And then they send us home for 2 days. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's going to blow over. Everything going to be okay. So 2 days after that 2-day break, they called and said, hey, we're going to have a big meeting. All the minor league teams, all the big league teams, we're going to have a big meeting. So they call us in and say, hey, you know, we started to say this, but for right now, the baseball season's postponed for the big leagues and the minor leagues. And you know, everybody's really upset, but we understand everybody's scared because, you know, COVID was a new thing. Everybody's like, man, we don't know this thing because everybody's getting sick. People are dying. So we didn't really know how serious it was. But the biggest thing, you know, the elephant in the room that everybody wanted to know was, you know, everybody didn't want to raise their hand. It was like, so are you guys still going to be able to pay us?
Right. I need my bread. That's what you said.
I need my cheese. Are y'all going to be able to pay us? So – it was funny because I'm sitting here like, I really don't know what he's going to say because as a lot of people know, when you get drafted, there's essentially 6 to 7 levels of baseball. When you get drafted, like I said, I got drafted out of high school. Rather, you get drafted out of high school, D2, D3, D1, junior college, whatever. There are steps to get to the big league. There's rookie ball, entry level. Then you got short season, low A, high A, double A, triple A, big leagues. So it's not like basketball. You know, you got the G League.
Go straight there.
Yeah. Football, college, NFL. Or basketball, whatever. Yeah. So it's crazy. So like I said, everybody's like, you know, are you going to pay us? And he's like, man, since there's not a quote-unquote minor league season, in terms of your contract, we don't have to pay y'all. So everybody's just
saying, what?
Yeah. So everybody's like, man, what's gonna happen? So I packed up my stuff, took a flight home, left my car in Florida because I'm thinking, you know, baseball's gonna resume at some point. Baseball's gonna be all good. You know, we're gonna go home, spend this time with our family, but we gotta figure out how to make some money. Yeah, we gotta find out how to make some money because it's like big leaguers, you know, they either you spend a year or two, those guys are up there in camp, you know, they probably got some money in their pocket, so they got money not to hold over. And since they big leaguers, they were still getting per diem, and their per diem was like, I think like $1,200 a week or something like that, something. And I think
per diem $1,200, Mac?
Yeah.
Bro, come on.
So that's like $1,000 plus, something like that, just for food money. And and I think they got like a, what did they get? They got some of their season money up front. I think like they got like 2 months worth of season money up front. And during this whole time, like I said, I'm home. I'm doing garage workouts. I'm putting sandbags together, doing whatever to stay in shape because I know, hey, this is going to be the time. Yeah. Anytime it could be a call that, hey, we need y'all to come back. And it's going to be who's ready and who's not ready. And if you're not ready, you're going to struggle. And if you're ready, you may get an opportunity that you never thought you was going to be able to get. And I wanted to be one of those guys. So, like I said, working out, find a way to do some live batter practice with some of my teammates, group of 30 guys, just trying to get better, just trying to, you know, stay in shape. And then you got, you know, the whole, you got the police brutality thing going on. You got the riots going on. Yes, you got So it was a whole lot of tension. And it was a situation where, you know, it was just like a topic that Derek Jeter, you know, who owns the Marlins, he said, hey, you know, let's have a conference, let's have a talk. And, you know, it was a Zoom call of about 200 plus guys, big leaguers and minor leaguers. And he said, hey, you know, we want to know what's going on, because until you have a platform like a CC Sabathia or a Mookie Betts, you know what I mean? Right. Yeah. You're not, like I said, I ain't a big dog yet. In my mind, I can think I'm a big dog.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But when them dudes making all them $40, $50 million, you know, that's a whole different life.
100%. My mom, she battles with me because I'm a little rebellious. I got the revolutionary mindset sometimes. People just need to be quiet. And I'm like, man, but at the end of the day, what was going on in the world, this is bigger than baseball. This is bigger than me. If I had to sacrifice my career for the embetterment of, you know, everybody else in the world, just how, you know, Colin Kaepernick did, then, you know, you're going to do what you have to do. But that was the first time where you could actually this summer was the first time where I could actually say something, vocalize it on a Twitter or an Instagram platform and not feel like, damn, am I going to get a phone call? Yeah. 100%. Because you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you never
I already know.
You already know what's going on. So, you know, that happened, and then, you know, they fight out and said, hey, we're going to cancel the minor league season. And that was a big blow. But the biggest thing, like you said, you've seen guys on TV now, they said, hey, we're going to make a 60-man roster. 60-man roster is going to be guys that are going to stay out the alternative camp and guys, you know, the 30 big league guys, 30 mans on the So I still remember this day like it was yesterday. So, like I said, I got drafted back in 2014. When you sign a contract out of high school, you get 7 years. 7 years until you become a free agent, and then you're able to negotiate your own contract. If you're out of college, you get 5 years. So one day I was, you know, doing live BP, got my work in, parked my car. I got a phone call. It was from Miami, Florida. I said, okay, well, you know, they was figuring out how to make roster soon. And they called me and said, hey, Matt, you know, it's nothing against you. We think you're a good ball player. But we just don't need your help right now. So we're gonna give you your release. We're gonna give you your free agency. So, and that was hard. I didn't know how to feel. I came in the house, you know, I was upset. You know, my mom and dad trying to calm me down. But, you know, like I said, it was a moment of just like somebody told me. And like I said, I got traded to the Marlins. I started my career with the Nationals, got traded to the Philadelphia Phillies, got traded to the Marlins. So, like I said, I've been in two big league trades. Each trade I've been in has been straight up for a big leaguer. And, wow. You know, being able to do that, being able to have that, you know, notch on my belt, like, it's cool, it's great. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, so, you know, they care about me. They care, but they're going to give me the opportunity. And since when I came over there, and at the end of the day, you can only do so much. And I understand I have to look myself in the mirror to where it's like, all right, well, what could I have done better? Or right. And I really have done all I can and still not get the opportunity. Then, you know, then your hands are tied. Like I said, they tell me once the ball leaves your hand, you know, control what you can control. And I told my agent, like, hey, you know, they just let me go. He's like, man, don't even worry about it. You're going to be a free agent anyway in 2 months. Because once the end of the season ends in September, then, you know, I'm granted full free agency. Gotcha. Don't even worry about it. But COVID has affected me because I had a big time frustration. Like I said, talking to my girlfriend, talking to my family, because I felt like an opportunity was taken from me that I couldn't even control. It'd be different if I did it and then, all right, got the boot. It's like, you know, I can go to sleep because, you know, I at least gave, you know, some type of effort. Right. But I literally had to, you know, sit home and get that phone call. And like I said, I'm not the first. I'm not the last. It was me and 1,000 other ball players out there. And I'm sitting here thinking like, man, do the Marlins not think, you know, they not think I'm good enough? Is it true? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, is it a money thing? Like, they're not making no money, so they want to cut a little salary? Because at this point, MLB had to grade to pay minor leaguers half of their salary. And, you know, it's something to put groceries, pay the light bill, you know, pay the phone bill, whatever you got to do.
Right.
Gas in your tank. But, you know, we was grateful, and I was grateful. So whenever I got that phone call, I'll say since that day till today right now, I still got – and then maybe you can even tell me, like I said, if there was a coach that ever doubted you or somebody done you wrong, till this day I still got this – I feel like this energy inside me that just makes me want to just, you know, just go crazy. Just make, like, I see red. I feel like anytime if I see a Marlins uniform or I see another.
Quarterback.
Yeah. And I feel like, man, like, do I really need to focus my attention on that? So it's like, say if I get an opportunity to spring training where, you know, I do get to face him, I do get to, you know, get my revenge. It's like, how am I going to feel after? Am I going to feel complete? Or is it just going to be like, you know, maybe we could focus our energy in whoever doubted you, let's prove them wrong. They told you they felt like, you know, you wasn't going to be able to get it done. So we're going to prove them wrong. We're going to prove them wrong and everybody else to be like, hey, like, y'all effed up. Y'all messed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I said, that's been my mindset all the whole time I've been home.
So McKenzie, what's the next step? Do you, is your agent talking to teams yet? Is there a certain time frame that has to pass before you're talking to another team about the potential for next year?
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, since I've been home, I've been working out 6 days a week nonstop. I've been on the grind. So traditionally how it works, when you become a free agent, it's a year-to-year basis. So after the World Series, that's when teams are allowed to call you. Teams are not allowed to call you until after the World Series. So after the World Series ended, my phone, God willing, shit, I should get some phone calls in. Like I said, I've, you know, been a prospect. I had some trades behind me. I'm a serviceable guy. I've been to AA, complete a whole season. Because essentially, when you get the AA and you show some type of ability, you're essentially big league ready. So, like I said, I should get interest. Hopefully, I should get interest from at least 4 or 5+ teams. I know I may have a good shot to maybe sign back with the Nationals, which is my original team. I got a good relationship over there. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I just got interest from Taiwan. Nice. To play overseas, so that's definitely encouraging. It lets me know, hey, well, you know, this journey still has, you know, this journey is still going to continue. Because like I said, after I got that phone call, I was upset, and I also, as a lot of people think about it, is like, man, like, I don't know where my next paycheck's going to come from.
Yeah,
like I said, that's a hard thing to deal with, especially at 24, because it's like, man, I'm so close, I'm right there. And then it was also hard because I'll even say, man, up to the last couple of months, you see so many guys that you played with on a team or guys you played against, and, you know, they making their debut. They're on the TV stand, they living their dream, and I'm on the home in the couch watching Netflix. But all I can do is, like I said, one of my buddy told me, he said, you know, if you worry about the next man's play, you're never going to worry about your own. So are you going to sit here and feel sorry for yourself, or are you going to get up back on that horse, you know, put another quarter in the machine and, you know, press play? And that's all really I could do right now. But, yeah, I say right after the World Series, I should – by the time November or late October rolls around, I should get some interest from MLB teams and a decent amount of overseas teams.
Man, let me ask you this, man. I think the stuff that you're going through, a lot of people are dealing with it. Not just people in sports. I mean, people who have regular lives, they deal with the same type of stuff. And we have a lot of kids who are going to grow up who want to be just like Matt. They want to make it, you know, to the big leagues. They want to get drafted. They want to, you know, play major baseball. What do you say to the kids who, because myself, I've been through it. I've been released. I've been cut, you know, in the National Football League. I've had all that kind of stuff happen. So I know what it feels like to wonder, where's my next paycheck coming from? What am I doing next in my life? So what do you tell the kids who are up and coming, who have those big dreams, but they're going to be faced with that adversity, and you're right in the middle of it right now? What do you tell kids in the middle of that adversity, how to handle these situations and how to move forward?
Yeah, be as mentally strong as possible. Be as mentally strong as possible. Like for me, I feel like I'm a perfectionist. Sometimes I love to be successful. If it's not in baseball, like, that's one thing in life. I love to be, I'm very impatient sometimes. I love to be successful. I hate people telling me I can't do something. So I would definitely say the one thing I struggle with is failure. And I just got done reading the book called Relentless. It was talked about, you know, he was a mentor for Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. And he told me, the book read, you know, failure is what you make it. If you choose to accept failure, then you're going to be a failure. So if you ever have any type of, if you ever have any type of adversity, I would say you have to teach it. You have to look at it as a learning type of situation, because from the minute I started competitive, you know, travel baseball, you know, I was dealing with adversity. I wasn't the best player on the team, or, you know, I didn't get the best opportunities, but I could look right now and be like, I'm the only guy playing that played with a whole bunch of guys that I thought that was better than me or had the advantage over me. So I would literally tell kids that could definitely capitalize on the physical part of your game. But I feel like if your mental side is stronger than your physical side, you're going to be a superstar. Because if you have that at a younger age, you know, the sky's the limit. For me, mentally, like I said, I don't like to lose. I hate to fail. I hate to lose. But in baseball,
no doubt, failing.
It's a cliche game of failure that I don't like to lose at. You're gonna lose 70% of the time. So I would say continue to any type of failure or, you know, something you're going through, I would definitely say do it as a learning type of situation. It's like, yeah, you got to learn from it. Because if you don't learn from it, you're not going to progress on it. If you keep on, you know, thinking about it, if you keep on harping on it, or you're always looking for words of affirmation, which I do, you know, it's never going to go away. You're never going to – if you look at the past too much, you're going to mess yourself up. Stay in the now. And the one thing I'm learning now is, man, you know what, be thankful that God woke you up this morning. You know, go outside.
No doubt.
Because, you know, like I said, there was a time for a good week after I got that phone call, I was just like, man, like, this sucks. So like I said, you probably, like I said, you've been through it too. So it's kind of like, this sucks. The one person that got me motivated when I saw Kaepernick working out the gospel music, I said, oh, he in a different mode. He in a different mode.
He's a different headspace right there. Yeah.
And that's where I felt like I was. I was like, man, Kaepernick felt like they done forgot about it. They done gave up on him. So I'm like, man, I felt that. So like I said, I would just tell kids, like, you gotta teach it as learning lesson. If somebody else don't like you, if one person don't like you, somebody else will. You get to prove that next person wrong.
True.
Hey Mac. Let me ask you a question. I'm watching the Braves right now going into the 11th inning scoreless. The Max Fried and Trevor Bauer have battled it out. It's an amazing game. Do us a favor. Tell us what you think about your take on these playoffs. We got 16 teams, more than ever for whatever reason they decided because of COVID they would add playoff teams.
Yeah.
But they got, you know, tell us what give us some ideas, some things to bet on. And do you see any surprise teams making a deep run? And finish giving us your World Series picks.
Yeah, I say surprise run. I told somebody today at the gym, I said, you know, they were, you know, damn near the most hated team in baseball, the Astros. I said, don't be surprised if the Astros don't make it. What did that be?
People going to boot them through the screen, bro. They going to boot them through the screen.
Nobody wants that.
I said, Astros. Like I said, I'm a diehard Braves fan. You know, hopefully maybe one day I get to play for them. So, you know, I would love to see the Braves, you know, get deep into the playoffs and, you know, even make a World Series appearance, because I know that would be great for the city of Atlanta. You know, unfortunately, the Falcons ain't doing it for the city, so I need the Braves to step it up.
They going to get it right, bro. Come on, they going to get it right. Come on. You from the ATL, baby. Come on, you got to talk them up, man. You got to talk them up.
Hey, they need to stop blowing leads. I need them to figure it out. Even my former organization, the Marlins, like I said, they haven't – this is the first time in a long time where they've definitely made a jump and put themselves in a position to where they can do something in the playoffs. So they got a lot of good young pitching, a lot of former teammates, a lot of buddies that I have on that team, a lot of good young ball players. They're a young ball club, so I wouldn't be surprised that maybe they even get far. Right now they're facing the Cubs, who got a lot of bats. So that's one thing they got to go through. But, yeah, I would say the
Marlins. You already said you wanted some little revenge versus the Marlins. So would you like would you be mad like if they didn't make it? Be real. Keep it a buck with me, would you?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ah,
yeah.
Hey, man.
I mean, I because like I said, the game that they clinched, I think they were playing the Yankees, and my buddy was pitching, and he's a fellow lefty just like me, and I'm just sitting like, man, like I could do that.
No doubt.
Like, man, that's what fuels me. That's what gets me kind of a little bit on the inside, because it's like, man, I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. Like I said, just you form a buddy. Like I said, you salute him. You wish him all the best. You hope he wins a Cy Young. I hope one of my teammates wins a Cy Young. I hope one of my buddies wins a batting title. But it's like, man, I could do that too. Yeah. But no, like I said, yeah, I wish them all the best. I wish.
What a smile. Like, what a smirk though. What a smirk though.
Yeah. But if there's an opportunity where I face you, I gotta give it to you.
We appreciate you taking the time, man. I know it obviously it's tough times for you, but I appreciate you being able to open up your heart and tell people kind of the struggles, some of the stuff you're going through. But I'm sure everybody listening to this will be rooting for you, man. Kind of tell people where they can find you, how they can follow you, so they can, you know, see how this story continues for you, man. So let everybody know where they can find you at.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I appreciate you guys inviting me on. Like I said, the story is slightly delayed, but the story's knocking in. I plan to play this game until I'm 40 if God allows me to. And I know I have the ability, and I know I can get it done. But, yeah, if you guys want to follow me, Instagram is @M_Mills14, and my Twitter handle is MackenzieMills27.
So, y'all make sure y'all go follow my dude, McKenzie, man. He's going to be up and coming. He's going to be striking out the Marlins here for a minute before we know it next year. All right, man. We appreciate you joining the Triple Threat Podcast, man. I'm sure a lot of people get a lot out of this. And it'd be exciting to see how the story continues for you, bro. So we appreciate you joining us, man. And hopefully we have you back on at another time. And we'll be talking about you facing the Dodgers and crushing Scott. All right, man. Appreciate you, bro.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.